Well, welcome, everybody.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Drinks with Diesel, round two. It's been a couple of months. When was the last one, Ishel? Was it June? Maybe?
June. I think it was June. And the thing is, it's always on a Friday because we have to publish on Monday, which means we're tired. And right now, a lot of people went back to school. So yes. You're extra tired. So thank you for joining.
Thank you for going back to school, everybody. Is everybody distance teaching? Is everybody's online right now? I assume nobody's going into the classroom in this group right now. So, wow, what a world. Okay, so we're gonna get into it, you guys. Let's get started. We're gonna shorten our round robin introductions, and then we'll do a second round of like letting people share in the middle. So what we're gonna do this time is we're just gonna go quickly. We're gonna go who you are, where you teach, and then what you are drinking, and then no other questions this time around. So let's give it a round. I'll call people out because we recognized last time that round robin is not actually round for all of us, and some of you are in different positions depending on how you logged in. So I will call out the names, and then we will introduce ourselves. I'll go and I'll start. So I am Brent. I teach at Irvine Valley College, and I am currently drinking a Golden Road Blonde. I can't get it out of the beer cozy, so it's a Golden Road Blonde Ale of some sort, and it's a little fruity tasting. So, Ishel.
Oh, I am Ishel. Are we saying where we teach? I forgot.
Yeah.
That's what I put in the chat. Oh, okay.
What'd you put in the chat?
It's Friday, guys. I teach in Texas, and I am drinking a ginger peach sparkling water because last time I had water and I felt bad that I didn't actually have something.
so sparkling water is like you're like tearing up. So by 2021 you'll be ready to have a drink.
I ran almost five miles. I can't have alcohol today, so I'll sleep.
Is that a thing for runners? Like you run and then you can't have alcohol? I would think it's the other way.
No, my body, I would want it, but I would go to sleep.
Oh, in the middle of recording.
Maybe that's not from running. Yeah, in the middle of recording.
That would be a problem. Okay. All right. Next in line is Brian.
I am Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I teach the same place Ishel teaches in Texas. and I'm drinking milk tea from the Japanese grocery store.
Oh, nice. Cool. All right. Welcome, Brian. Next is Mark.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I teach at Southern Utah University, which is in Southern Utah, not someplace surprising, like Northern North Dakota or something. And I'm teaching at the IEP and then teaching linguistics for the first time to actual undergrads in the fall. But I am actually having to go into campus at least for the first 2 weeks until they cancel everything.
Linguistics is a new shift for you, although if anybody follows your blog, you definitely talk about that stuff quite a bit. So cool. Congratulations. That's a good gig then. And I'll look forward to hearing a little bit more about that later. But let's go down the line. Next is Michelle.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and I live in San Antonio. And I teach at the same school as Ishel and Brian. And I was drinking water, but it's gone.
All right. Okay. Daya.
Wait, did Mark share what he was drinking?
Oh, no, Mark did not share. Mark, are you
a non-drinker?
Dry again. It's that Utah lifestyle. Okay.
That's okay. Brent is double fisting for you, Mark.
Again.
That's true. I have to make up for it. Okay. Who is next? Daya.
Me.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daya Mudra. I teach at City College of San Francisco. I'm teaching one fully online class and one remote class. And we're also doing something new. We've got a learning center online now. So I'm doing tutoring online, nice. Which is kind of a new thing. And I am drinking Angry Orchard organic cider, nice. My favorite.
I love Angry Orchard so much.
Denise, you are up next.
I'm up.
I'm Denise. I teach at Miramar College in sunny San Diego. And I'm also this semester teaching graduate students, MATSL students at the University of San Diego, also online. And I have a class on teaching with technology. So I'm super excited. Starts next Friday. Jeez. And I'm drinking a can of rosé bubbles from, it says Oregon grown Underwood.
Oh, all right.
Just one can, Brent.
For now. Okay.
You know me too well.
All right. And Simone.
Hey, I'm Simone, and I teach international and resident students at Edmonds College, and I'm drinking some Pinot Grigio.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. So we are excited to have you here today. And again, well, it sounds like some of you are going overboard on teaching extra classes and things like that, too. So keep it up. Stay well. Stay hydrated. And let's move into our first round. So today we are shifting our game up a little bit, and we are going to do a quizzes. And we're going to be using... for those of you who go back to your grad school days, and you might remember studying from Swan and Smith's Learner English. And so this time the game is making choices based on learner English. So what's going to happen is you're going to be provided with a sentence that represents a typical problem in English from another language, right? So so we'll be listening, you're going to be reading this actually. It's not going to make for the best radio, so we'll have to kind of, we're going to cut and rearrange this to talk about it later. So while you're playing the game, that part will not be played on the show. But basically what's going to happen is you're going to see the two sentences. So the top sentence is going to be the problem sentence, right? The sentence that is not correct in English. And then a sentence below it in brackets is what it's meant to be in English, or the closest equivalent that it's meant to be in English. And so then what your job is in the game is you are going to try to guess which languages speakers would be most likely to make the mistake. So you will get four different languages, your A, B, C, and D, and you're going to say, hey, I think that this problem comes from a Portuguese speaker, or I think this problem comes from an Italian speaker, or whatever that is. Did I explain that fairly clearly? Anybody have any questions?
Fairly.
Cool. Fairly. Good enough. We'll see how it goes.
Error? Some kind of error? And you have to identify which area that error is more likely to be, to have appeared, or, well, what kind of speaker, where your speaker is from.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll see, once you see it, I think it'll make a little bit more sense.
And then we'll... Yes. And so answers are going to be via quizzes, right, Brent?
Yes. So I'm going to share this right now.
Anybody who has not used quizzes before?
You can see my 100 tabs open here.
I haven't.
Okay. So, oh, good. So a few people haven't used quizzes. Awesome. You get to try something new today.
Okay.
So they're going to access this by mobile device or browser. Or any.
Whichever you like. So you can use your mobile device. You can use your browser right here. You go to joinmyquiz.com, and the code number is 492008.
It's like Kahoot, but not Kahoot.
It's like Kahoot, but like maybe on steroids a little bit.
Yeah, there's like a variation on Kahoot. And so we'll talk about how this works specifically.
I'm excited to be on this end of the Kahoot, so to speak.
Yes.
Wait, do I get to play?
You can play. You haven't looked at these questions.
I haven't looked at the answers.
Yeah, you should jump on in.
Yes, because I've only watched people play. I want to play.
Yeah, play. Get in.
Quizzes.
So that means I'm waiting for one, two, go. Three, four, two more people. We got...
Yeah, I'm coming.
We got a couple more people.
Sorry, I'm slower than you.
Join it.
Oh, no problem. I can also put
the link. We do have a prize.
Oh, yeah. Which prize do we want to give? We are very well prepared.
We usually give away a pin the first round.
Pin?
Yep. Do you want to explain the pin?
Yes. So we are going to be giving a premium diesel pin. If you haven't gotten one of these, if you've gotten one, a couple people maybe have gotten one, but if you haven't gotten one, we will mail you one of these premium enamel diesel pins, and we are never going to remake these again. So make sure that when you win it, you put it in a glass case. All right. Okay, so everybody's here. So what's going to happen? We're going to get started. And this is a little different than Kahoot because quizzes is self-paced, so you get to take your time. However, at the same time, the questions do check how long it takes you to get through the answers. So you're still racing, but you don't do it at the exact same moment as everybody else. And so if your Wi-Fi connection is not as strong or whatever else is going on, all of those excuses that your students like to give you with problems with Kahoot, it's individually based on when it loads up on their screen. So we'll give it a try and see how we do.
Of the redemption question, that was cool.
Yeah, there's some cool.
I was not
features.
Redeemed.
Oh, you didn't get it.
Yeah, me neither. That's a cool. So, like,
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
All right, so. Congratulations. It looks like Mark was the overall winner. Now, the cool thing about this, if you have not played with quizzes, is it gives the class average. And so today we got an average of 47%.
Oh. On a Friday, that's good. On a Friday, that's good.
No, this is actually super hard, you guys. So, to be fair. And I also didn't mention something that's important, which is that I did not go back and clarify that these errors are not available in other languages. I just took the examples from the one language. I did my best, you guys, but I was like, I'm not going to spend hours quadruple checking every single one of these things. So, it's possible that these errors exist in other languages, but I did pull them from the examples of the language that was the winning choice. So here we go. Congratulations, you guys. Now, it says that the toughest question was question number 9, but what we're going to do is we're going to look through these questions and see kind of what the story behind them is. So the first one is I'm absolutely tired, and that was versus I'm very tired. Now, for this one, this came from Japanese, according to the book, and according to the example from inside of the book, which is that Japanese does not distinguish between gradable and non-gradable adjectives. So students may use adverbs of degree and emphasis inappropriately. I thought that was pretty, an interesting thing to look at there. I tried to choose other languages that I didn't think had those. So Dutch and Farsi, I don't know, I didn't check them all, but Japanese was the answer in this one. So, so you will definitely hear students say something like this. Okay. Next one. And if you guys have comments or your own experiences with students saying things like these too, please feel free to shout out and let us know. Mark.
A much more common version of that is it's very delicious.
Yes.
Right. Delicious is usually ungradable in English, but gradable in Japanese.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right. So the gradable meaning like the
degree of
what
the intensity.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. So next one is I told her I would a coffee, and the correct meaning is I told her I want a coffee. The majority of people who guessed it right, which is the German in this one. So it says here, according to the book, in German, will means want, not will, right? The word will means kind of want here. And so they choose the word will as a replacement for want often as a common mistake until they learn how to deal with that. So so if you would hear a German student say something, I would or I will something, then they probably are trying to say I want, especially at the lower levels. Okay, moving forward. to wipe your feet, please, equals wipe your feet, please. So this one, in Ooh. French, the infinitive is often used as an imperative form. So the infinitive is often used as an imperative, which is, something that we, sorry guys, someone's jumping in. Let me get my
JPB.
Oh, there we go.
I never knew that. I speak French, but I've never known that to be true.
Oh, see, and here we go. This is where we deal with the realities of these things. So are these Cambridge books, are they accurate? Can we trust in them? Or are they just saying something that we're never going to check for ourselves? So according to this, hi, Justin, how are you? Welcome in. So according to this, we are... that's what it said. It said in written French, maybe not in spoken, but it said in written French, the infinitive is often used as an imperative form. If you want a citation, I'll give it to you later, but I didn't make these things up.
I think we can live without citations All right. on Friday.
Happy hey, who hour. Knew?
I'm good.
All right. Next one. That is my aunt over there. Have you met him? And it's, meaning to say, have you met her? French, Japanese, Spanish, and Chinese. The choice was Chinese on this one because in Chinese, there is no gender distinction in spoken Chinese. No gender distinction in spoken Chinese, which is he, she, and it all share the same sound. So definitely with spoken, it comes across. And if those of you who had Chinese students or studied a little bit of Chinese, I believe that's... if my memory serves me correctly, ta. I'm not going to get the intonation correct here.
Though. Oh, for Chinese. Yeah, it's ta.
Yeah, ta. Yeah, he, she, that. And mm-hmm. it, ta. Right?
Ta.
Okay, moving forward. He is tall man, or sorry, he is man tall, and probably even the is might be dropped out. He man tall. He is a tall man, and you guys nailed this one. Arabic, for sure. Did everybody know that one for sure, or was it just a guess?
I was surprised not to see other languages there, so I just guessed on everything. So I was probably wrong for me.
I tried to put in the other language choices that might, kind of get us to where we're going, but yeah. it's probably not that language, so you can do elimination game. But anyways, in Arabic, adjectives go after nouns in Arabic, so that's kind of the language thing that you might find there. These sausages taste deliciously versus these sausages taste delicious. Again, you guys did pretty well here. Korean, anybody know the reason why for this one? This one was interesting to me. I didn't know this. So the answer is Korean verbs corresponding to look, sound, smell, feel, and taste are invariably followed by adverbs, not adjectives, according to the book.
Hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds a little bit more, it sounds kind of like a more literal way for us than what we do in English. And when you think about it, right? Because mm-hmm. when you think about, we always modify a verb with an adverb.
An adverb.
And then we just don't do that a lot of the time.
Correct.
Yeah, with these sight or... what do you call them? Linking verbs.
Yeah, that are linking verbs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there we go. Next, when I arrived, he had eaten his dinner versus he was eating his dinner. Farsi there. The reason why is that past progressive tense in Farsi is formed with their equivalent of the verb to have. So their word to have is what they use, and so they transfer both have and the word have here, and so it becomes he had eating dinner instead of be, which is he was eating dinner.
Hmm.
All right. Next one. I ran, I caught the ferry versus I ran, so, or, and I caught the ferry, and guys are getting these. Turkish. Turkish is the answer here. And the explanation behind that is that the coordinate clauses are often juxtaposed without a conjunction in spoken Turkish. I do want to be clear, in Swan and Smith, a lot of the times they talk about like distinguishing a little bit between spoken and written English, or sorry, spoken language and written language in their languages. So so this is talking about spoken language, spoken Turkish. So leading. So what happens is that learners, Turkish learners of English, have a tendency to drop out and, so, or but from their coordinating conjunctions there. Next, he prevented him not to go. Most people said Spanish on this one. The actual answer was Swahili. And this was another one that was kind of interesting. This was the toughest question. So, he prevented him not to go. And the answer or the explanation behind it is that verbs of prohibition, prevention, and denial in Swahili must be followed by a verb with a negative inflection, which I would have never known that. I don't have a lot of Swahili speakers as my students, but
a couple negative.
In Spanish, I could see something like that. I thought definitely in Spanish you could do it.
Oh.
My mom can do sometimes, like, oh, she does a double negative. I don't know if it's the same error or the same reason why.
Okay.
But.
Well, Ishelle is a Spanish speaker, and if you're one of the people who chose Spanish, then I think everybody else can feel a little safer about that as well. All right. And the last one is how he is clever. How he is clever. And it should be he is clever. And the answer was Portuguese. I didn't double check it against German, but Portuguese. And the explanation for it is that the declarative word order is used in exclamations with como, and como means how, right?
Como, yeah, how, so, like in Spanish.
So they always have, in declarative word order, they always have como, and so it comes across into English with how as well. All right, so that is your round of quizzes using the Swan and Smith. If you guys are interested, you can play this round.
So wait,
again.
So was it Mark that won?
Mark was the winner. Yeah, congratulations, Mark. 6,350.
And Brian was second.
And Brian second. Congratulations.
So stay here for a moment, Brent. For those of you who haven't used quizzes before, if you wanted, you could project this and do it as a review, and then you would have control over the board and you could do it with the class, and they just tell you where to choose or where to click, and you click and it'll tell you. So you could actually try it out that way.
Yeah, you can look at the questions here individually and bring them up and see kind of what the time for it was. There's a lot of fun things that you can do with it. In fact, there's a lot of really great things, and then you can do leaderboards. Mm-hmm. Also, notice that while we were playing, we could see everybody as they're answering questions, but if you have a larger class and you don't want to do the like sometimes students get embarrassed for being at the bottom of the list or something like that. There's an option in there to just show the top five. And so only kind of the leaders of the leaderboard would show up, and then other people kind of pop in and out depending on how they're going. So so if you're kind of dealing with some of the, the social emotional things that you're wanting to make sure your students feel comfortable and not shamed for any of that, there's options already built into here for that as well.
And yeah, you guys noticed the little power-ups. If you can also, I think if you do share it as an assignment, you can decide whether not to have power-ups and what power-ups to have. So you can have that redemption question, you could have eliminate the answer, you could have there's a bunch of stuff on there, so it gives you other options to give them that chance to try again and try again, and it'll ask them the questions that they missed, so you could have that too, which is cool, which
and
I like.
One thing that I also like to do then at the very end is that I can give the same assignment back to them as homework afterwards. So if you do it as an introduction, go, hey, let's play through this. You don't have to get great answers. We're just getting ourselves warmed up. And then you can self-pace as homework later to review and go through all of these things. And then they want to challenge themselves. Also, this thing here, if you listened to the episode where we talked with John Carippo in Fast and about the Edge of Protocols, one of the things is the Fast and the Curious, and this is what he uses, because the class accuracy, when we saw that we all got set 47%, what'll happen is like you ask the class, you say, "Hey, are you guys happy with that?" And they go, no, we're not happy with being 47%. And so then they play the game again, and they have opportunities to get better and better at it each time. So if you're doing things like vocabulary, that can be really, it can have them have a lot of access to repeating and going through those, as many times as they need to. So cool. That's it. Good job, you guys. Congratulations on working through that. And we are going to shift over to just a little bit of chat and share. So where did my show notes go?
It's our intermission where we're going to take time to share a couple of things. So we did introductions at the beginning, and now we're just going to talk. We're just going to share what's one thing that you've learned from the last few months of teleteaching or distance teaching, and maybe a tip that you have, just your one tip, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be tech, and just share it with the group. And then we're going to move on to one more game. Brent, do you want me to call out names?
Yeah, you call. You
and then also, over. Yeah, and if you just joined us, you can introduce yourself so that the rest of us know and tell us where you are, what time zone, because we have all time zones here. I don't think we talked about it. So I'll call you out because everybody's on in different orders. So the first person is Brian. Brian, what is one thing you've learned during teleworking, or a tip that you have for our audience or other teachers?
Well, I'm not good at this kind of thing. I have learned just about everything I know since teleworking. I mean, involved with teleworking.
Just Google
everything. I had a Gmail before, but that's it. Now I know Google everything.
Google everything.
That is a pretty good answer, actually.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer.
I just learned that quiz is fun. I've never seen it before.
All right, next is Michelle.
I would concur with Brian about Google. I used Google Gmail, but now I'm using so many different things. One of the things I've learned is that you have to slow down your pace a little bit when you're online, and maybe not try to attempt as much, because you just can't go as quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're all learning that. JPB, you are next.
Hi. A couple of things I've learned, as much as I don't particularly like the current position, I've learned a couple of things that are very important, which is mostly how to type while holding an infant, which is something I didn't know before.
Absolutely key. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also learned, how to hold him when he's fussing, but I have to type, or how to position him in the way that it's easiest for him to fall asleep if he's tired, and then keep working with one hand at that point. But, I came here at this time because I was like on the floor with him as he fell asleep.
Learned how to That's type good. With one hand, JPB?
Yeah, I do a lot of that. Right now I have my hands, but I do a lot of one hand typing.
That's actually a skill I want to learn, right? Like more efficient one-handed typing. That's awesome.
And JPB's in New York.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you guys haven't listened to the episode that we did with him, I believe it's episode 19, 20. I'll have to check. We'll put it in the notes that we send out, but you've got to check it out.
The baby's asleep. I can't go wake him up for you. it takes him once. It's hard to get him down. Once he's down, he'll sleep.
That's like getting totally him down. Fair. You're not going to wake him up for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Out of the room. I can't have this whole going on with this here.
Denise, you are next.
Let's see. I think I have always felt that we should allow students to engage in however they feel most comfortable, which is why I never force them to show video or even join synchronously if they don't want to. But I was going over the student surveys from last week, and there was a couple that really caught my attention when I just asked them, like, how do you feel about our optional Zoom Q&A? Like, how do you feel about it? And the two that stuck out, which I know I like share with you, Diamudra, one student said, it's super sketchy. It's super sketchy to be on video. And then the other one said, I don't mind Zoom if you can't see me, and also I can't see myself. And I just think I just continue to really, really push my faculty and my colleagues to not force students to show their face if they don't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. What does sketchy mean?
Ooh, I can't wait till our next game. Ooh,
I don't know. I'm on, you know, well, I'm still on the same can. Sketchy, I took it to mean negatively, just not really feeling comfortable with being on video. I mean, students have also told me, like, they don't know if other students are taking screenshots and sharing them or recording them or what is happening, you know? And my students are all levels of ages, so they have all different learning environments, and they don't want their learning environment show. They don't want their, like, their kids or their family members that might be in and out of their living space to be shown either. So I just think it's a level of kind of suspicion that my students feel.
That's a good thank you. I've never had to define sketchy before, but
I don't know that I did a good job on that.
Yeah, I would say like kind of a little bit scary or uncomfortable, maybe.
Suspicious. Yeah, I kind of know sketchy, but not in this context.
I would say questionable.
Mm. Oh, that's a good
questionable. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Dayamudra, you're next.
Well, you know, in a lot of these forums, we focus on the tech tools. And the biggest thing I'm learning is just about wellness and trying to really not be on the computer all day. And also just trying to really encourage my students to take care of themselves. And, you know, at the beginning of our live stream twice a week, we do like a little yoga. Yesterday we did like a little dance for 5 minutes. I just think it's very important to acknowledge this moment. You know, I don't know why I'm losing my voice, but this moment of COVID and all the stuff with that, and then also all the police violence and just so much stuff happening in the world. I just think it's really important to be very emotionally present for ourselves and our students. And I feel like with my students, when I bring that in, then they can, you know, lower the effective filter, increase the comprehensible input, right? They can start to learn. But without doing that, then everybody's just like, what's happening now? So I think wellness is something that I'm just going to keep committing to.
Yeah, we've talked about the importance of that. Simone, you're next.
I really like what you said about wellness, because I'm really hoping to build more of that into my classes this fall. I haven't started yet, but this summer I've spent a lot of time on Twitter. It's been great professional development. So thank you everybody, including JPB and your fantastic articles. But what I've learned just really kind of concretely is that I probably should have bought a ring light like 6 months ago, because I have all these videos that just have like, you know, yeah. So I finally broke down and bought one like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, makes a difference.
Yeah. So here's to better videos this quarter.
So you're really feeling like a strong, actual, powerful difference on the ring light. People keep saying that to me, and I always feel like my lighting is pretty good because I sit right in front of a window. Yeah, your lighting is pretty good. But it depends on your position totally too, right?
So yeah, and I'll be teaching in the evenings, and I won't have like as much daylight, and also my overhead light is like not great in this room. So I think, yeah, if you've got really strong light, you probably don't need it, but it's made a nice difference.
Maybe we can go for like the under the chin scary stories light, you know, something like that too. Cool. We lost Mark. He had to sign out.
Yeah, so. he had to step out for dinner. Brent, did you have anything you wanted to share that you've learned?
I mean, I say this a lot. I don't think it's something that I've learned brand new, but I'm especially kind of forgiving in terms of like having problems with the technology with the students, and just say, hey, this is first time for a lot of us, first time for almost all of us. It's okay if you make a mistake, like, and especially like the first 3 or 4 weeks, it's like, let's just keep practicing. Let's just keep trying. If you don't get it right, go back and do it again. You'll have the opportunity. And so really just kind of being extra forgiving on top of whatever your normal level of forgiveness is with your students, because and then showing also like when I make mistakes, when I'm trying to teach something or when I'm trying to show something, and like just right away fessing up and giving in to the mistakes and the problems, because that makes them feel like, hey, if the teacher can make a mistake, then it's okay for me to make mistakes too. And then we can keep moving forward. And that's especially valuable early on, I think, because a lot of students might get stressed out and want to drop the classes if we're in college classes and things like that, and just go, I'm going to drop. This is not for me. And so extra time and extra forgiveness, and showing also that that I make mistakes as well.
Mm-hmm. And then I think what the thing that I've learned is, again, I'm gonna piggyback on Simone and say that Twitter has been like, so I love to, I've had Twitter forever, but every once in a while I have times where I feel like, I'm just not contributing as much. I want to share, I want to learn. But because of COVID, that was the one place that I knew teachers were going to be sharing. And I knew that people would be, for the most part, friendly giving of things. And there's people in this room that I would not have met had it not been for things shared on Twitter. And my world has just like expanded. And now I feel overwhelmed because there's so much I didn't know. And my area where I can go now and grow has just multiplied. And that's not something I think I can get from anywhere else other than the place that brings all of these people together. And for me, that happens to be Twitter. So that's what I learned, is reach out and go to Twitter and avoid it when avoid certain things.
But it's there are plenty of places to avoid on Twitter too. Right?
You can avoid easily sometimes. But that is it. And so we are ready to move on to our last game. And we have a prize for this one. You are going to get a copy of the HyperDoc Handbook, Digital Lesson Design Using Google Apps. So pretty relevant if you're for those of you using Google Apps, Google Suite. And the game is called, and I'm going to go ahead and share screen. And we're simply going to answer. We played this before. This is just a new version. It is Stump the Teacher language trivia. Let me see if I can get, let me make sure I can get my chat up.
Yishel, can I ask, do I need to switch to whiskey? Is this as hard as
Yes.
I know, I already feel demoral. I'm like, well.
So.
Cheers, Denise.
Yeah, the nice thing for most of us is that our bed is right here, so we're just like done, and then just lay down and be over with it after this game.
So the thing that people remember is how hard the last one was. Is that what people remember?
Yeah, so, it was super hard.
And it was fun for me. So, but it was hard. So at the end, I made these questions from Grammar Girl, because Grammar Girl has a bunch of the little unknowns or like curiosity things. So I will post all the articles, because it also gives you stuff to read. And some of these are not the main theme of that podcast episode or article, but they do teach you a lot of oddities of language. So, and can you guys just verify that you can see my screen, and it says Stump the Language, Stump the Teacher. I need a drink.
Can we put our answers in the chat?
Yeah, so I'm going to explain. So Stump the Teacher Language Trivia, you're just going to put your answers in the chat. It's multiple choice. And all you're going to do, and the way we're going to keep track, is whoever types in the correct answer first is the winner, for gets the point. Oh. And Brent's gonna help me tally those.
Oh wow, okay, hold on. wait a second. See, paper and pencil works.
I'm ready.
There are, last time we had 8 questions. There are only 7 questions this time. They are hard. And I will give you the answer after, but not the full explanation. So that's for you to read the article. Most articles are between 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then there might be a podcast component to it, but you will have access to it. So let me know when, Brent.
Is there a timer on this, or are we just playing?
We're just playing, but let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, okay. Yeah. I've got my pen and paper. I'm good to go.
All right, here we go. So question number one, okay, there we go. Words like pustule and moist frequently come up in lists of most commonly hated words. What is this negative reaction called? Is it a misnomer, word perversion, misophonia, or word aversion?
Oh no.
And the correct answer is, we have everybody. Do we have seven answers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are there only six people playing?
I think last time you had to write like the number so you would know when the next question began.
Yes, you're right. Okay, so the answer to this is word aversion. Yeah, word aversion. So that is D. And the first person to put that in there was
Michelle.
Woo-hoo! Okay, so now we're gonna go to question two, and also hold on, Brent, I think you put that in the waiting room. So there we go. Question two. Oh, and by the way, JPB, the most common answer that people said this was, or the most common answer people gave was misophonia, but that was
That's chewing, right?
The sound of chewing.
Yeah, no, I know. I think it's like people who can't hear other people eat.
Sounds interesting.
Speaking of which, Ishelle, where's your bag of chips that you brought to the show?
Where's my what? Oh, my chips. I thought I'd have time to eat. All right, here we go. Next question. Question number two. What is the meaning of the verb whelm, as in overwhelm? Is it to have an abundance of something, to be out of energy, to capsize, or to lack resources? We've got 1, 2, 3 answers. 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
Oh, one it. More?
Every no six. There's oh, six. Yeah. There's six people. So that's right.
That's right. Okay. And the answer is to capsize.
Yeah, I was like overwhelmed means to have too much of something.
I know. I felt the same way. I'm like, it can't be A anyway.
So yeah. Why can we be overwhelmed, underwhelmed, but not whelmed?
I did not know whelm was a verb by itself.
So I think it's actually a nautical term. So shame on you, you military English people. whelm meant for a vessel to be tipped over. And it could mean something like a pot or any kind of vessel, but that it's a nautical term. And then it turned into overwhelm. And then
wouldn't overwhelm then be to come back up?
Sorry. Overwhelmed. We'll let you read the article. it moved to overwhelm, if I recall correctly. And then underwhelm became underwhelm because someone was making fun of the word overwhelm, like a sarcastic version of it.
Oh, that's interesting. I should point out that maybe next time we can get the definition or find the word for the thing when everybody knows this is the wrong answer, but they choose the wrong answer anyway.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, I was like, I know it can't be A. It's pressing A.
Okay, question three. Which of the following definitions is most closely to the slang term bougie? Is it classy? Is it pretentious, selfish materialism? Is it middle class? Or is it a French free man living in the city? Let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I meant three. Okay.
Okay. And the answer is pretentious, selfish materialism.
JPB.
So that was JPB. The title of the article where this comes from is what is bougie and is it related to bourgeois? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Bourgeois.
The bourgeoisie.
Yes, from the bourgeoisie. And the original, the actual meaning we know is it came from a French freeman living in the city. Then it became middle class. Then it became associated with something classy. But nowadays, if I say I'm going to be bougie and use my, I don't know, fake Louis Vuitton, blah, blah, blah. So that means it's kind of like you're trying to show off, but it's materialism and it's overwhelming, pretentious.
Are the pictures supposed to be clues or distractions?
I don't know.
Fair question.
I think you could have put a TikTok video there and it would have been a better clue, maybe.
Yes. Oh, that would have been great. TikTok videos. Someone was saying something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty common black slang, too. Is it? Yeah. You can go back and watch old episodes of The Fresh Prince and they're talking about it.
Oh, You learn something every day. All right, question number four. I like this question. What is the reason we use the word redhead? Oops, sorry for my error there. What is the reason we use the word redhead as opposed to orange head to describe someone's hair color? Is it that the original word was rat head, but the pronunciation changed over time? Was it a bitter fight between lords in 1688 over orange versus red, which resulted in red being chosen? Was it Sir Royal MacArthurton in 1912 who preferred the sound of red versus orange? Or was it that the word orange hadn't yet entered the language?
We've already got our six answers in there.
Yep, so. I know, that was long. I'm reading it for the audience. Okay, and the answer is...
D.
The word had not yet entered the language.
You got that. Simone.
Thanks for posting that article, Ishel, on Twitter.
Oh, no, we're learning the tricks
my
here.
I learned from last time.
So I sometimes post some of these on Twitter, and I'm always curious to see if people read them. Last time it was something about animal sounds, animal language sounds. And also, if you recall from the, you probably won't recall, but the last trivia, I also made up Sir Royal MacArthurton. last time he was from 16 something. This time he was from 1912. So he's fake. All right. So question number five.
Can I go
five.
Back and just quickly say that I wish it was number one because rat head is like so terrible.
If you read that article though, there's something about the word rat. It actually is, that was a word for red. So read that article. All right, number five. Which of these arguments for the variations of the pronunciation of Celtic, versus, which is Celtic, as what scholars call it, versus Celtic, what sports fans call it, is false? Should I read or should I let...
This for the listeners.
Okay, for the listeners.
Which one is false?
Which one is false? So, so these are arguments, okay? The pronunciation for Celtic... Whoops, I've got a lot of errors here, guys, because I was moving around my answers. The pronunciation for Celtic comes from the Greek Keltoi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The word came to English in the 1700s to refer to certain peoples of the British Isles from the French word Celtique. Was it that the introduction of the K sound is a linguistic change started by scholars, or was it an actual and unfortunate mispronunciation by a French linguist?
Which one of these is false, right?
According to Grammar Girl, the one that is false. Yeah, I actually made that one up. The other ones are all arguments.
Oh, it's
for
false.
Yeah.
No.
So the only person who got that was JPB.
JPB.
All right.
All right.
Also, if you all guess the same thing, then if you've already put answers down,
look at you. You're playing the Price is Right style strategy here.
I can't get any points by being the fifth person to have the same answer.
That's true. Yeah.
And since Daya wants to put in answers before she reads the question, then there's no chance I was going to put that one in.
I read it. I'm getting them all wrong.
Michelle, I did the same thing. I heard her say false. I saw false in big bold letters, and then I still did not follow the instructions.
You're like, this is the one.
I'm terrible at standardized tests. I'm a Gemini, so I always think, well, it could be this. It could be this.
Remember the title of this? Stump the teacher. I am winning, you guys. Two questions left. Okay.
You're doing pretty well, Isha.
I am winning. Did I win the last time? I think you guys got 50%. I think last
time.
We did
terribly. I remember.
Question number six. Which of these compound possession conventions is incorrect? Is it my and Tom's show with the apostrophe and Tom's? Is it Tom's with apostrophe and my show? Is it Tom and Jerry's with apostrophe after Jerry's show? Or is it Tom's apostrophe and Jerry's apostrophe shows? And let me make sure there's six answers. Oh, I didn't type. Okay, you guys, put the number. Thank you, thank you. Okay, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we need one more. 1, 2, 3. Are we good, Brent? Will you let me know? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 6. Yeah, we're good.
All right. The answer is, this one is incorrect.
Oh.
The rest are possible. The rest are all possible, depending on the context. So, but I think the main idea of that article was that the first possessive noun cannot take care of two in a compound.
So Daya got that one right.
I notice in social media now a lot of people are putting mys, M-Y apostrophe S. That's becoming a thing.
Mys. Oh,
really?
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen it before.
What does that mean?
It's just like my, but they're making it. Eyes. It's like a eyes. Double. It's just
I think I've seen it. I feel like I've seen it.
That's.
I don't know.
I'm not. I'm really not into prescriptivism, but I cannot with mine. I can't do it. I mean, I'm not gonna pull. I don't teach grammar these days, so I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about it right now. But that would be. I'd be struggling not to reach for the pen on that one.
I hear it more like in social media and kind of like on the street. Like it's a thing people are using. The kids are using it.
Hanging out on the street.
The young kids.
Verbally, right?
Yeah. On the bus, at the grocery store. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does it replace?
So question number 7, apparently. And that's going to take us right to the wrap up. Question number 7. In a recent Grammar Girl poll, which of these terms was the most popular choice to describe days that seem to mesh into each other due to teleworking? Where you don't know what day it is. Is it someday? Is it Wednesday with WH? Is it Blur's Day or is it Blends Day?
We've already got our 6 answers in here.
Okay. I like all of those answers.
And the answer is Blur's Day.
All right.
A second close was Wednesday.
That was people.
I think you used that at work, Ishel.
I did.
I remember saying that.
What? You're dropping hints all the time. I'm into the quiz, and those of us that don't work with you can't get
them.
So
unfair.
Our winner is, or who got the answer here? So C, the first C was Brian.
Yeah, congratulations.
I got one, yay.
I think we need prizes for the biggest loser.
You know what? You guys said that last time. I might actually, you. They might give a gag prize when the next one. So our winner for this game, for our last game is
JPB.
Oh,
JPB.
JPB got 2.
I did get 2.
Congratulations.
Wait, can I ask who got all of them wrong?
Well, not wrong, but there is one person who did not win anything. It's not to say they didn't get them all right.
Let's not shame people. You know, I'm pretty sure it's me.
I think it's me.
The real reason there's only 7 and not 8 is because dang, those last 3 questions were so hard. And now, you know, coming up with distractors and answers, it's just hard. You know, those of you who develop tests, and I was like, oh man, okay, 7. All right. And that ends the game. Brent?
That's it. We're at 6 o'clock, so we are not going to do fun finds today, I don't think. I think we'll just let them go. You guys can go find we'll your them. Own fun things because we're out of time and we want to let everybody enjoy their evening.
Yeah, and then only one other thing, that if you're attended today, you will get a Drinks with Diesel sticker. So we do have, I think there's a form. I think some of you already got one. I put mine on a, there's a, is there a form somewhere?
Yeah, I got one.
If you attended before, we've got your info. And if you have not, we'll either, you put it in the chat.
It's in the chat.
It's in the chat. We may already have your info, but if I think it's Brian and Michelle whose info we'll need so that we can mail that to you and mail off prizes. But other than that.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you for coming to another episode of Drinks with Diesel. We hope you had a good time. We're trying to keep it short and fun and light for everybody. It is a stepping into a new semester and everybody's everything. So we hope you are keeping your sanity about you. Ishel, do you have any final words?
Parting words. If you're not on Twitter, join Twitter. Follow all the people that are here. You have a great group of other instructors. Sorry, it's Friday. Instructors who can share, instructors and scholars who will share a lot of stuff with you. So find us on Twitter. You can find them on Twitter. We'll post their stuff.
Thank you, guys. I don't know how you find the time, but I just want to say it's super important what you're doing. And I share every single episode with my colleagues and my faculty, and it's really important. And I can't imagine how much work it is. So we really, really, in our community, ESOL community, appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
You're here. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for stopping. Yeah, thank you for stopping by, everybody. Really appreciate it. Yeah. We'll see you on the internets.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Take care.